You know, for as many times as this guy has joined us, the fact that he didn't tell Jesse I have a hard out, meaning that he has to go by a certain time, feels like a little bit of a rookie mistake.
It's spring training. He's just getting back into it, too.
Jesse, what time do the Brewers play today on their schedule?
2 o'clock, Seattle Mariners today. 2 o'clock in Arizona. Okay. So let's have them out by then.
Now, is that Pacific time? Is that Mountain time? What is that?
That's a great question. Arizona's goofy with their time zone, so
not as goofy as Indiana. Joining us now, and I can't wait to find out what his nickname track record is throughout his broadcast career. He is our friend. He is fantastic at what he does. He is Jeff Levering on Wilde and Tausch. I'm sorry, Tausch. What did you want me to introduce him as? Levo? Levo!
Has that been a nickname that people call you? Because I feel like people call you Levo. Am I crazy?
No, that's a very accurate assessment.
That's
been my nickname since about second grade, actually.
Levo, L-E-V-O, like Devo, but Levo?
Yeah, exactly. Well, it depends on who you ask, because if you're Kent Sommerfeld, he'll call me Levo till he's blue in the face, which is fine. I respond to both. But it has been a Levo, because I'm a Levering, not a Levering. Right, so it makes sense to do the Levo thing, but yes. But thanks for the introduction with the nickname. That's good. Appreciate that.
No, it's not good because now Tausch was right again, and I have to admit I'm wrong, and I hate it when that happens. Levo.
I mean, it beats any other nicknames you could throw out for me, so that's good.
Wait a minute. Are there others? I mean, you worked in minor league baseball for a while.
J Levo.
There's. Yeah, there's a lot of nicknames that are running out there. J Lev, you got Lev that's running out there.
Any we can't say on the radio?
Sure, of course. if you refer to the Jeff Levering and Vinny Rotino Google Doc for our season-long cribbage match, those are not legal, whatever our nicknames are for one another.
Levo, do you guys mugs and lumber haul, or is it straight up? How do you guys do it when you're playing?
Oh, no. Cribbage
straight
nerd
cribbage.
Time.
Straight
no,
cribbage.
So, but we, you will we, take...
We, yeah, we may do some cutthroat. The first 2 years, so we've been doing this 2 years now. This will be our third year. I won the first year, and I've only been playing for 2 years. I just learned it at the beginning of the 23 season, and I took him down. He's been playing for years, and then he won the season series last year. So kind of a big year this year in the old Rotino Levering
pivotal
match. But we'll play. I think we'll play cutthroat this year.
Yeah. You have to, and then do you call it grade eight? When you get the three-card run with a pair, what do you guys say?
We don't say grade A. It's more of just a double-double for us. No, I say double-double or a triple-double.
Okay.
I haven't heard grade eight, but I like that.
Yeah, grade eight speeds up the game. So I used to play. We did partners. I was with Johnny Kuhn, and then we played the quarterback and another fullback, and it was cutthroat on top of cutthroat. On top of cutthroat. So, you know, there's lumber hauling. If you didn't have your ears up and eyes open, it was not going to be pretty. So I don't know, but cribbage, you have to take points. You have to get the other person. You got to get Rotino thinking, did I miss something every time? Get in his head and say, are you sure about that when he takes his hand off that little nodule?
Right, are you sure that's a seven? You sure you didn't have knobs there? Oh, totally.
Yeah,
no, I'm all in
knobs?
That. It's
was
all
that?
About the pegging anyways, you know.
It is.
Okay. All right. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Well, Jason, the Brewers are giving away one of their, and I always thought the Giannis jerseys that our station gives is one of the great giveaways. This cribbage board giveaway, Levo, you're going to get to the game early just to get one.
Oh, there's no doubt. Yeah, I think that the reason why that we're doing a giveaway this year for Cribbage Board is because we've been talking about it on the air for the last 2 years, is my guess. Now, I'm not going to take credit for it, but I think it's a pretty good thing. And the cribbage board is awesome. I know the Brewers did this thing where it was stick your hands in a box and see if you can name what the item was, blind kind of feel test, right? And I know Reese Hoskins got the cribbage board. He's a Northern California guy. Not a lot of cribbage being played in Northern California. But he said it was like a hard pizza box. And I went, come on, Reese, you're killing me. But it's a great item. I know that. It's coming up in June, I believe.
All right. I saw Tausch's eyes light up when you said the word cribbage. I knew this was going to happen.
Levo, do you play Sheepshead too? Or you? What other card games do you
I hope
into?
Not.
I feel like Levo and I, just our relationship just went next level with this.
I love it. I love it, Tausch. I have not played Sheepshead. I play a lot of gin. To be honest
okay.
with you, I play a lot of gin and a lot of cribbage. So those are my All games.
Right. Well, six-handed euchre. Cause four-handed euchre, kind of, eh. Six-handed, when you add twos, adds another layer. So you got all kinds of – I'm excited for you in this card playing quest that you're on. What are you hitting your head about, Wildy?
I'm on.
It's fun.
The fact that we have one of the preeminent baseball play-by-play guys on our show, and much like our Super Bowl preview turned into Ed Helms sucked on The Office, this has now become, hey, let's talk not just cribbage, but now we're
thinking thinking about going down to spring training now just to get a game. I'd have to bring a partner, but to get a game with those two, I'm thinking about going down there. I might change my spring break plans and go down just to play euchre with Levo or cribbage.
Come on
with
down.
Levo. That's what I'm thinking about.
Yeah. Come on down. I got the board. It's all ready to go.
Hey, Levo, what's going on with the Brewers right now? Anything interesting?
We're two games in, and you know, everybody's just trying to get the feel for what's going on. We haven't seen a pitcher go more than one inning. I think we saw 10 pitchers in yesterday's game. We saw 10 pitchers in the game on Saturday. So everybody's just trying to get the feel. You know, it's fun to see a kid like Vinny Capra who's out of options. He had the two homers in Saturday's game, including the walk-off, so that's great. There aren't a ton of battles for positions and spots on this roster. The bullpen is going to fluctuate a bit, but you just want to stay healthy through spring training. Now, position battles, it feels like everything is kind of locked up with the exception of what you're going to do at third. Joey Ortiz is getting the first crack at short. So it's more the back-end bench roles that are kind of on the line right now. But it's been a good first couple of games, and they got another one today against Seattle, and you just start stacking days.
15-2, 15-4, that's just like you're stacking points in cribbage, right? I don't know if you always go 15 first, or do you go with your pairs? How are you counting up when you do? Because you don't use the grade 8 philosophy.
Tausch, you're loving this right now. I count 15s first, and then pairs, and then runs.
Yep. All right. So, Woody, what do you think about Woody so far? Where is he at? Because there's been kind of – you know he was coming back. Where does he stand as far as – you know, I know it's only a couple days in, but how has he looked, and what are you thinking moving forward where he's at?
He's looked really good, and he threw a simulated game. Let's see, we started on Saturday. He threw a sim game on Friday, and they're talking about him throwing again this week, potentially – Wednesday or Thursday, but he was 93, 94 miles an hour. The off-speed stuff is coming along. He had a normal off-season, just trying to ramp himself up. My biggest thing for Brandon Woodruff is you have to kind of temper your expectations on him a bit. I think everybody does because he is healthy and everybody thinks, okay, yeah, let's go. He's not going to give you 200 innings this year because he gave you zero last season. And no matter what, who the pitcher is, coming off of a zero season, you have to really ramp yourself up and limit those innings. So if you got, and we've said this on the air, 80 innings out of Brandon Woodruff this year, I think that would be a really good season for him. I don't anticipate him going 150 innings. It's just not feasible coming off of the major shoulder injury that he sustained. But I think they're going to be very careful with him. They're going to limit his innings early. Because you want him peaking at the best possible time. If you're in the mix in September and October, you want to have Brandon Woodruff on the mound. So whatever that means to get him to where he needs to be, and they've got a number in their mind, that's where he needs to be. And you know, you just don't want to push him and potentially harm what has been a crazy comeback for him to begin with.
So Levo, with Devin Williams leaving, being traded, what do you see in the back end of this bullpen, which has been so good? How do you see that shaking out, even though it's early?
Yeah, I see Trevor Megill getting the bulk of the closing duties early, especially. He was so good for the Brewers last year, the first 3 months of the season until Devin came back. So, Trevor Megill is your closer to open up the season until proven otherwise. He looks great. He threw a simulated game a couple days ago and was just blowing cheese already. He has trimmed down, it looks like, which is a good thing for him in recovery. So he's going to get every opportunity to close. You might see Yoel Piance in the back end of a bullpen if Trevor's not available. You could see Nick Mears get some closing opportunities. Brian Hudson's looked good. Jared Koenig, who was great last year. The Brewers' bullpen is in really good shape with those guys that came back in one of the best bullpens in baseball a year ago. Most of those guys are back, with the exception of Devin Williams.
Talking with Jeff Levering, the voice of Brewers baseball, but also the king of cribbage, along with Tausch. A couple things that I want to understand here, Jeff. You mentioned the shortstop position. You know, I come from my youth. I loved Just a Bit Outside, the documentary on the 82 Brewers. You know, that was my team as a kid growing up in Milwaukee. I'm old school that way, though, right? Like Robin Yount playing his entire career with the Brewers. Mark Tauscher playing his entire career with the Packers. You know, Paul Molitor leaving in free agency. Devastating in whatever that was, 1994 or whatever it was. Willie Adames, I loved everything about him. And I understand why the economics are what they are. But you mentioned Ortiz getting the first shot. But what do you see transpiring at shortstop, and how much will Willie be missed?
I think Willie's impact on the team is going to be missed a ton. And I loved Willie. He was phenomenal in all the ways, on the field, off the field, in the clubhouse. It's hard to replace what he did on the field, right? It's 30 homers, it's 100 RBIs, just an incredible season for him. Set the franchise record for RBIs by a shortstop in a single season a year ago. And his defense was good. For Joey Ortiz, he's a better defender than Willie Adames is. So I think the defense is going to improve, but he's not going to hit 30 homers and drive in 100. That's just not who he is. And he just needs to be who he is. So if you can get that production from a couple of different people instead of just one, that's a good thing. For me, I think the biggest impact that you're going to miss with Willie was his leadership in the clubhouse. And the guy that he had the biggest impact on was Jackson Churio. Those two guys would be out with William Contreras hitting every single day. Those guys were hanging out all the time. His effect on the team is going to be missed the most, is what he did as a leader for Jackson Churio, taking him under his wing. And who's going to step up and be that guy this year? It's to be determined, right? It's a hard thing to do. But he learned a lot of great lessons from Willie. I wish Willie nothing but the best in San Francisco. He can have a great season with the exception of the 6 or 7 games that they play against the Brewers. But his impact in that clubhouse is what's going to be missed the most. And yes, the economics of baseball are tough, and there was a contract extension conversation with Willie Adames prior to him becoming a free agent within the last couple of years. It didn't work out, but at the same time, he bet on himself. He had a career year, and he cashed in and for Willie.
Jeff, we had Pat Murphy on the show when the radio broadcasts joined 100.5 ESPN Madison, and you know, he's, as you well know, far better than I do. He's fantastic. I'm seeing obviously tempered expectations for this team this year because of Adames' departure, et cetera, et cetera. But I would argue that it sure seems to me like the manager of the year is a guy that's going to get every ounce of winning out of whatever his roster looks like. How much does he give the Brewers a better chance, regardless of what changes they may have in their lineup and in their rotation?
Yeah, he's such a great guy in that clubhouse, and I would argue that the success of the Brewers for the last 10 years has been in large part because of Pat Murphy. I know he wasn't the manager for the first nine of those. He was a bench coach, but he was the guy that was in the middle of everything. And yes, his voice changed last year, but man, does he know how to lead. And I tell you, no matter what excuses people give this organization and this franchise, injuries, free agency, salary, all that other stuff, Murph goes, the heck with it. Let's just go out there and play. Who cares? It's almost like a damned man from Empire Records, right? Let's just go and do the thing. Let's just go play and prove everybody wrong. Who cares? He's lived his whole life like that ever since he was a kid, and boxing and playing baseball, mm-hmm. and then coaching, starting as a D3 guy. He doesn't care. I'm just going to go out there. I'm going to put it out on the table and see what happens. And I love that about him. I think that this roster, especially last year and what's coming back this year for year two and year three for some of these young guys, it's a perfect roster for him to manage and still have that mentality too.
All right, Jeff, before we let you go, because you do have a baseball game at some juncture here today that you'll be interested in, and apparently some cribbage to play. So I can't imagine, and we left you alone the day that the news broke, and we had people crying on our show about it.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine what it's been like to report to Arizona without Uke. And I know you guys did a great podcast where you guys all kind of shared your memories and feelings and everything else. I'm just curious, as you work through this and he's not in the chair next to you and you're not seeing him every day, what's it been like for you? We're going to play your tribute to him a little bit later in the show. But what's it been like for you, and how different is it to have that incredible presence not there as you reconvene for the 25 season?
Well, it feels like he is there, even though physically he's not. Because he's always with us, right? And I said that when I came on the air on Saturday. He's always going to be with us. He's with each and every one of us, not just us in the booth or in the organization, but everybody that was a fan. He's still going to be with us. We'll never forget what Bob meant to Brewers baseball, what he meant to the entertainment community, what he meant to everybody, to his family. He was just an amazing human being, and it is hard. And Saturday was the first of many firsts without Bob, right? I think the spring training game, a lot of people asked me what I was going to say when I came on the air, and I just tried to channel what Bob would want to do. And about halfway through my little soliloquy that I came up with, and it was short and I think it was impactful, but at the end of the day, about halfway through it, in the back of my head, all I could hear was Bob going, "Oh my God, Jeff, stop talking about me and get to the ball game," because that's what he would want. That's what he would want. He would want this not to be about him. He would want it to be about the team. So it's hard, but that was the first one. And then there's going to be an opening day in New York City when the Brewers take on the Yankees, and that's going to be a hard one. And even though he wouldn't be doing that game anyway because it was on the road, his presence is going to be felt. I think that the hardest one is going to be the home opener when the Brewers are back at home for the first time. You're back in that booth, and you know he's not to your right, sitting in his normal seat. That's going to be a hard one. When everybody walks by in the loge level and looks up, and you know, we're kind of like the lions in the zoo, and we're the ones off to the side when everybody wants to see the king, and the king's not going to be in his throne. That's going to be a hard one. And then there's going to be a day in July on a Tuesday where you go, man, I'm kind of dragging a little bit. I would love to hear Bob just start telling stories right now and get me excited to do this baseball game. That's going to be a hard day too, because you know what's coming. So it's, his presence is felt. There's no doubt about that. It'll always be felt. But for us in the booth, I think we're trying to challenge that channel it in a very positive way, and do what he would want us to do. And that's talk Brewers baseball, have fun, and just be a part of it.
Well, Jeff, we're with you on that, and we know how hard it has been, and I know that you were privy to things that some of the rest of us weren't, so it came as an even bigger surprise to us. when it happened. But you carry on his legacy beautifully. I'm sure he loved working with you, and we love having you. We're really excited that we'll get to hear all you guys call the games on 100.5 ESPN Madison. Obviously, the Brewers have been on 620 WTMJ, our sister station, for a very, 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 very long time. We love it when you're on TV. I always love finding the random games that you're calling all around the country and the other sports that you do, and I usually try to text you and distract you while you're trying to call those games. Level, we appreciate you, man. We look forward to talking to you more throughout the year because you're the best. Thanks.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks so much, and hope to see you down in Arizona, Tosh, so I can kick your butt in some cribbage, buddy.
He's on his way.
Let's go. Lumber hauling away.
Thanks, Jeff.
You got it. See you guys.
That is the great Jeff Levering, our friend from the Brewers Radio Network.